Hello and welcome to Cool Sheets,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
You'll hear all about 10 things that we are currently enjoying in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
Don't forget to get all of our show notes on our website, coolsheets.cool.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Let's dive into our Cool Sheets.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And
we're back.
It's Cool Sheets. And we have made it through 150 episodes.
I know. I forgot to kind of talk about that last
week. That's really cool. Yeah. And I was so excited. You had Kevin Turner on.
Yeah.
And
he was great, wasn't he?
He was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I mentioned on the show that I didn't really know Kevin. I've only met him one time, talked to him sort of a little bit at the podcast meetup. But I was like, you know what? I know he knows what he's doing. I listened to his podcast. It's great. And so I knew he was taking it really seriously when I asked him, you know, he was like, so I just knew he would nail it. And he did.
He was great. He really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did a great job. And then I really liked his Cool Sheets,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because they're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find out that we have a lot of similar tastes, which was cool as well. So it's just, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's really
meeting
really
someone kind of outside your circle of friends.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, having so much in common is really great.
Yeah. So it was such a joy to not do the show and get to listen to the show.
Yeah, that's always fun, too.
Yeah. So, you know, just get a little break. So, very nice. Okay, so this week I get to go first, and I am going to be starting out with something that has a presence as both a website and a YouTube channel, and it is called Verbal to Visual. And I stumbled upon this just because I was looking for ideas of how to approach designing a new curriculum for my work. And so just looking through various things, and this came up. And he has such a unique way of teaching things. And what I loved about this is it didn't just teach me about designing a new curriculum. In fact, I would say of all the things I've been learning from him, that's like number four or number five. So his whole thing here is he wants to teach people how to build their visual note-taking skills or visual organization, really, of things. So he keeps in mind that not all of us are verbal people. Not all of us are, you know, in terms of writing things down, or just not good at it. And I would say, while I feel like I am good at writing things down and organizing, you know, in kind of your standard outline form, say if I'm just trying to organize a project or something, that I benefit a lot if I do see something in a different way. So just for an example, he has pulled up something called the clothesline method. Now, he learned about this from somebody else, but he presents it on his YouTube channel, where you are not only you're taking ideas and you're putting them in boxes that go horizontally, but then down from each, you are then attaching things that go vertically. And he actually does it on a wall with pieces of paper, but you don't even have to do it that way. There's so many different ways to do things and think about them. And so he just has this great way of doing things. On his website, he has online courses, and they, from what I can tell, you could learn a lot, not just with career, but also with your life planning. And a really cool. I haven't watched it yet, but here's an example of a really cool YouTube video that he has that is aligning your daily routine with your long-term goals. So lots of great stuff here. Again, this is Verbal to Visual.
Whoa, that sounds really neat.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it, but I love that kind of stuff. I love organization, and it probably stems from my lack of. Certainly, I've gotten better, but I've always need help, and I'm always fascinated and learning methods and all of that. Sounds really neat.
Yeah, I think you would like it.
Oh, man.
I've maybe only watched 5 of his videos and got to his website a little bit, and I subscribed, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go for this. I don't just subscribe to anybody, so I pick and choose.
Yeah.
And
only the Cool Sheets.
Only the Cool Sheets, yeah. So, highly recommended.
Very
it's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's really high energy, and he's just great on video too, which helps engage you and keep you excited about what he's talking about. So,
That's neat. Yeah. You know, YouTube, boy, YouTube, there's, you know, of course, amazing cat videos and lots of other weird stuff and crazy stuff and whatever stuff, but there's so much good stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm not always picky about subscribing. I think I subscribe to maybe 10 or 20 channels in the last week, but it was mostly because someone posted, hey, I'm looking for some new YouTube channels. They were also a YouTube addict. And so all these people were suggesting really cool YouTube pages. So some of them might be cool sheets in the future.
Yeah.
Tons of them I was enjoying. Some are silly. Some are educational. But YouTube's so great. Like, you don't even need TV anymore.
You don't.
There's so much. There's entertainment. There's instructional. There's just an escape. There's everything on YouTube mm-hmm. and really good stuff. It's not all just nonsense or dark or conspiracy or make you, you know, want to crawl into a cave. There's plenty of that if that's what you're into.
Right.
But there's just some really good stuff for everything, for
yes.
every kind of. I go to Google first and then I'll YouTube that same search and it's almost always a video on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just then you can watch the video and you're seeing it in action, whether it's how to make something or fix something or learn something. It's just,
totally agree.
Everybody knows how great YouTube is, but it's just really good.
It's a cool sheet. Here's a bonus cool sheet, everybody.
Yeah, YouTube. Heard of it? It's cool.
No, it's so true. My frequency of searching for things in YouTube has gone up exponentially in the last 6 months.
Yeah. It's almost like you don't need Google anymore. You just YouTube search it instead, which is wild.
It is wild.
Okay. Well, very cool. I will probably subscribe to that one. I can tell already. My first cool sheet is going to be an item that I purchased, and that is a new backpack. It's the Travel Pack 2 X-Pack Limited Edition. But before I get into that, I want to talk about my old backpack, which I have forever. And it was kind of like this iconic piece for me because it was orange and it had a very unique look. And I, of course, have it with me at all times since I am always riding my bike and I don't have a car. So everything gets shoved in my backpack when I go somewhere. And it was everybody, you could spot me from far away because of the orange. And then it kind of faded and turned to this lighter orange, almost rusty color, which made it even cooler. And it was by Blue Lounge and it was made from recycled plastic bottles. And I loved it, but it was breaking and coming apart. And it was time to finally retire it. And it was very sad. And I knew it was coming. So I had a long time to look at new backpacks. And I researched them for over 6 months because I wasn't in a big hurry, but I knew it had happened soon. And way back in episode 4, you talked about the Osprey backpack, the Porter 46. I looked at that one so many times when I was narrowing it down because I've seen yours in action. It's great. But it just aesthetically wasn't quite my style, which is kind of silly, but also important if you're going to, especially if you're going to have it every day. So I decided to get the, I believe it's called Air. It's AER travel pack. It's a limited edition, so you can't even buy this backpack now, but it is great. It's kind of waterproof. It's a more waterproof version because it's this limited edition. It's also built a little more durable. It has tons of features. It's also orange inside, so I still kind of have that orange, you know, connection in memory of my old backpack, but it has everything I need for gear, for gadgets, and it's just way more organized, including my favorite feature, which is this little top pocket for passports or glasses or stuff when you're traveling. So it's up by the top of your head so it won't get stolen very easy. All the bells and whistles, definitely check it out. It is super expensive though, so there's that. But the Travel Pack X-Pack 2.
Ooh, I love backpacks. All the things that they do now, especially and how they make them fit
wild.
To you. So how is it with comfort?
Super comfortable.
Nice.
And talk about YouTube. I watch so many videos mm-hmm. because that's great. When you're trying to buy something, if you can search it on YouTube, and there's people that that's all they do. YouTube career just with backpacks. It's wild to me, but they have thousands and tens of thousands of views and they go very detailed, and they of course have bought all kinds. So once I narrowed it down to like the 3 to 5 that I liked, they would have direct comparisons and why they like this and that better. But it's super comfortable. You never really know, though, until you get it yourself. Even right. when they tell you, like, oh, this, you know, sits a little high or sits a little low or doesn't have adjustments. And actually, this backpack had a lot of those things. They're like, ah, it's good, but it doesn't have this. But that limited edition had all those extra features that the other one, the original, didn't have. So that's why I grabbed it. I knew it might get sold out, and it did. You can't buy it anywhere. It's not like it's sold out and it's going to come back.
Oh,
it's
wow.
done. Like, it's done, done. So I am really glad. There hasn't been. I've owned it now for well over 6 months, and I have not regretted it once. Every day, since I use it every day, I always appreciate it. So
that's
it was
awesome.
A good purchase for sure. But if it's super comfortable. Yeah, it's great. It's just, it has like 3 handles and everywhere and hooks to luggage and does all these amazing things. It has a shoe compartment and, of course, laptop and iPad, both. All these little, it's just great.
Yeah. The multiple handle thing on backpacks like that, at first I was like, what?
It's so silly, right?
It is so handy.
You can just grab it wherever. And that is one of those things you don't think about being, you know, something that you would like, but it's super useful.
Yeah.
I've kind of laughed because when I do grab it a different way, I actually laugh when I do it, but I'm like, I'm really glad that that handle's there.
Yes. I'm going to make, every time I grab it, it's worth that extra, like, put in a quarter and then pretty soon it will pay for the
take
whole thing.
Take a lot. It's really expensive.
Yeah. I will say, for me being a smaller, shorter person, you know, females in general, you do have to be really careful with backpacks and making sure you get a smaller size. Like, if they're too long, which I've done that too many times, that I've learned, that just getting, but you can figure it out by just getting a measurement. So if you're buying online, just making sure.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to try this one. I don't know if you've ever put it on.
I haven't put it on.
You should try it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Not that
you can get it, but.
I know. You, like, tempt me. Like, I'm so sad. Oh, but my Osprey, I mean, that thing, I've been working that thing pretty hard for several years, and it looks new. I mean, those things stay together, and this one sounds really hardy, too.
Yeah, it is super hardy, and so is that Osprey. And it's so good. I mean, it was so close, because it's way cheaper. At least half, maybe one-third the price.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely the value. It was really hard for me to justify. But knowing it would be every day and knowing I would have it for a long, long time.
Yes.
That other backpack of mine lasted at least 5 years, if not 8 or 10. So I know that it will last for a long time.
Yeah.
So I figured it was probably worth the extra cash to be able to look at it every time. And it's kind of a minimal design.
Mm-hmm.
It's all black, which is very different than the orange one, but I just love it. So
yeah, very sleek. All right. So my next cool sheet, I got this as an audiobook. You can get it as a regular book, but I really like this one as an audiobook. And I heard about this, I'm going to say 4 years ago, from a friend of mine. It's actually a KMUZ volunteer who said this was such a great book. And I was like, not too interested. Okay, the name of it is The 1 Minute Manager. But there is a new one out called The New 1 Minute Manager. And I would say anyone nowadays should definitely get the new one. And this is, I don't know how many years it's been, you know, I didn't look at that, how long it's been around, but it's been decades, this thing. And it is quite short. So if you get it as an audiobook, it's 1.5 hours long. So really easy to listen to. And the way that this book is told, or what the way it's really a story, and it is told in the style of a parable. So it talks about this young man who's looking all over the world for a good manager. And I didn't listen to this or get this for 4 years because I thought, how boring can this be? But I will tell you that me not even being a manager in my work formally, that I learned things about work, about coworkers. I learned things about just relationships in general, not even at work. And it was really to the point, straightforward to the point, and got me thinking about different ways of interacting with people. Now, I will say mostly at work, but again, also goes out to relationships. So, for example, there are these three secrets that are unveiled, and they sound really straightforward and simple. Secret number one is that you set 1 minute goals. Secret number two is that you give 1 minute praisings. Secret number three, you give 1 minute redirects. Okay, that all sounds simple, but there's so much more to it. And he also explains why it works, which is important to me. So I do highly recommend this for anyone, the new 1 minute manager.
Yeah, that's a really good book. It's a classic.
Very classic.
I've read it at least three or four times.
Did you?
Because it's so short. I read the old one, and then I bought the new one, but I used to read it once a year, but that was a long time ago, and I bought the new one, but I haven't read that one yet, knowing that I probably knew the base. I would like to see how different they are, probably just a little more modern, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But such a good book. It is, because it's such a quick read, so it's kind of a business classic.
Yeah.
When I was reading tons of any kind of business book or personal improvement book, they'd all recommend that and like repeatedly, like everybody recommends that one. You know, everybody has kind of, oh, this book or that book, and they don't always agree, but they almost always agree. That's one of the ones that's just always mentioned by just about everybody.
Yeah.
Because it is so short, but not that it needs to be longer. Like, it's concise.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was longer, it would just be more filler. And I can't stand books like that just say the same thing over and over. I get it that sometimes that's what people need to hear, is the same thing in different ways until it sinks in. But you can just read this more than once.
Like, exactly. Yeah, just read it again.
it just does not. It makes use of every word, and it is really good. So cool. I'm glad you talked about that, because I kind of forgot it, and now I should probably read it again.
I know. Well, and isn't that funny? You've read it many, many times, and it hasn't come up for you as a cool sheet for whatever reason. You probably forgot, because you have so many others.
I forgot about it.
And then I've just discovered it finally.
Yeah, it's so great.
And boom. Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. My next cool sheet is a YouTube channel. And out of those 30, I found a couple in the last two episodes that I want to talk about right away. And I talked about Peter McKinnon last week, and he's a photographer. And he partnered with this guy, Daniel Schiffer. And I actually like Daniel's YouTube series even better. So he's a filmmaker. Peter McKinnon is amazing and one of the top tier photographers on YouTube by far. Bar none, everybody knows it. But Daniel, and he does film as well, but Daniel does just film, so he's not a photographer first. He's a filmmaker, so since I'm in the filmmaking business, it was much more useful to me. He has 110 videos, so tons of stuff to go through. He has 789,000 subscribers, so more than just myself and Peter like him, quite a bit. But he has such a unique filming style, and that's really what separates him from a lot of people. He takes advantage or uses these really, really cool, hard to describe on radio transitions, and a lot of them are in camera, which is even cooler. So he will, you've probably seen some where you zoom into something dark and then it zooms, and then the next scene starts dark. It's kind of like that swish videos I was talking about, and a couple different techniques, only taken to the turned up to 11. They're highly produced client videos that he goes through. And some people might see them as too gimmicky or whatever, if they're very traditional. They don't fit that mold at all, but I love them. And coming from kind of a traditional pro video background, I love these new ideas and techniques, and to see what's super trendy, because I think that's important to keep your work fresh. And I think it's a good mix of both. You don't want to overdo the zoom in controls, but you do want to incorporate some of them and at least know what they are. Daniel covers it all, and he's super in depth about behind the scenes and how he did this and sharing all of his information. Definitely check out Daniel Schiffer.
I love that he's sharing behind the scenes stuff. I think that's so important when people
do
that.
Yeah, that's what really separates Peter and Daniel apart from a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to, and Instagram, you'll go and you'll just get inspired. They have Instagram accounts, of course, and you'll see the video, the finished video, and you're like, wow, that's really neat. I wonder how he did that. And then you go on YouTube and he's like, oh, he's actually showing us. So he's like, you know, even jokes about it sometimes, like, oh, I'm giving away all my best techniques, and, you know, now you can do what I do, and I won't get clients anymore, haha, you know, because it's, everybody knows that that's not true.
Yeah, right.
Sharing your work is super, super valuable. It just makes him more popular and more sought after. So it has, I can't imagine that it's hurt him in any way, but it gives everybody so much really neat information and expanding their skills. And it is true, you don't want to just copy someone unless you're learning a technique. You know, you don't want to make a video that's exactly like his. That's kind of, that is kind of just not, it's kind of frowned upon in the business. But to take that idea, make it your own, use your own style and flair, and incorporate techniques in a different way is totally fair game and fantastic, and a lot of people encourage that, so I think it's great.
Yeah, and it really shows when you reach a level where you are sharing everything you do, that means you, I would say, you're in the master realm, because you don't care if other people know how to do it. You're not feeling that competition that you do when you're just beginning, or maybe you're trying to establish yourself and there's this kind of fear-based, you know, coveting things, keeping it to yourself. And so it's so awesome when you see people are just like, here's everything, and just letting it go and being excited for other people learning it. And I love that.
Yeah. And well, and that's how he met Peter, because Peter was a fan of his work, and he's a big fan of Peter's work, you know, because Peter's been around for a long time. So he was like, I can't believe that the guy that I've always put on this pedestal is now we're working together and now we're friends, and this is amazing. And they teach each other things. And that's how that works. That's what happens when you start sharing things, then people share other techniques with you. You collaborate and exponentially, you both get better.
Yeah,
and that's why it's just the way to go, for sure. But he has his technique is very known now in his own right, and they're like, oh, that's a Daniel Schiffer look.
You know? Oh, nice! I'll have to
check really
that out.
It's really cool. Huh. Yeah, it's just watching it, even if you don't know anything about filmmaking. I always, of course, dissect. Oh, how do you do that? And I want to. Oh, that's interesting. But just watching it, it's very cool. It's just, it is. And he changes, you know, he's like, oh, this used to be trendy and now it's kind of overplayed and cliche, and that's fine. Now I like to do this, but and here's the times to still use that technique, and here's when to stay away from it. And so it's always evolving when you're talking about trendy moves in filmmaking or edits and things like that. And he realizes that too, but he's kind of on the edge of the very, very trendy stuff, which is cool.
I'm interested in watching it as a non-expert and see if
notice. Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Things.
Yeah. Well, you'll know. Yeah, I'm sure you just know that it's neat. I mean, you can't help but watch it and go, wow, that's really slick.
Cool.
But you probably wouldn't try to dissect it or anything.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, and I will definitely share this with Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd love it for sure. That's why I actually waited for this one for when you were on.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad. All right. My next cool sheet. I'm going to be talking about something nasty, pest control. And this comes up because I know a couple people are having issues with mice and rats in their house. Ah, I haven't had to deal with that. I've had other things like ants and stuff. But what I have found in this realm, just generally pest control in your house, University of Nebraska Lincoln Extension Services are fabulous with information in this realm. And they are, as I said, it's in Nebraska. So here you have a much different climate than where we record, where we're based in Salem, Oregon, where it's a lot more temperate here. And so when you're in another climate where the mice are, maybe they have to live inside in the winter or something to survive, that you might have problems like that. But not to say we don't have issues in Oregon on this. But for example, they go into such great detail because they explain step by step all things about the bait selection and then the types of bait stations. Like, you might just go to a store like, okay, I got to buy something, and you just buy whatever you see on the shelf. But you can educate yourself ahead of time by figuring out, okay, what are the consumer bait stations? What is it that professionals use? They tell you step by step how to build your own bait station, so you can go a lot cheaper in this way. Where to place it, how to place the different things, how to maintain them, safety, which is super important. Obviously, if you have kids and pets, you need to be extra careful with things like that. And they also go through things like talking about what the Environmental Protection Agency has established as guidelines and things. So it's very legit in that way. So all the examples I've given are for mice and rats, but they go into every single animal or like insects and all sorts of other pests that you can imagine. University of Nebraska Lincoln Extension pest control advice.
Whoa. All right. One really nice thing about living in an apartment.
Yes.
That's someone else's problem.
For sure.
So those are the things that I really appreciate. Not having to take care of a yard.
Oh, I know.
And pests and yeah. Even anything that breaks. You
and
just
even,
make a phone call.
Yep. Yep. Get on it. And things like that are really common, like ants. If you're in an apartment building, your chances are so minimal.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, I think people, they feel maybe ashamed if they have certain kinds of pests.
But, yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, but this is
it happens
the thing.
All the time.
And it totally depends on where you live. So
yeah.
I have lived in an area in town that just, I had ants all the time. I could not get rid of them. And I moved. I didn't change anything about how I did anything, stored food or anything. And I don't have ants. And it just depends on where you are. And you know.
Ants, they're the worst. I don't know. Maybe they're all the worst. All those little pests are the worst when they're getting you. But ants are probably most frequent, I guess.
I know. Yeah,
when I was a kid,
so.
We always had an ant problem at the house we lived in. And yeah, it's just, it's frustrating.
I know.
And then once they start, like, it amplifies like crazy, and then they're just everywhere all the time. And I'm also kind of fascinated with ants at the same time,
right.
But I don't want them crawling around my food, that's for sure.
Right.
So it's a love-hate with them sometimes, but cool. All right, my next cool sheet is a website. And I was just looking again on our, to make sure we haven't talked about this. I thought for sure, and maybe we have in some way, but not, as far as I can tell, never specifically this website. It's called Abandon America, and it's abandonamerica.us. And the founder is Matthew Christopher. So I first ran around something similar to this online when I saw something about, oh, an abandoned theme park that looks like a horror story, you know, out of a horror film. And of course, I clicked on it and it was fascinating. It was like these carnival, you know, Ferris wheel that's like half in the ground now and decrepit and buildings that have fallen. And there's so much mystery to these things. And my imagination just goes wild. You know, why did this happen? Was it something like a murder happened there? You know, your mind goes to these crazy places. Or was it something more reasonable, like a failed economy in that area of the city, which is super boring, probably more accurate. But so I've seen that here and there before. But then I realized that there's a website completely dedicated to all of these things all over the world. Also, a lot of them are in the U.S. They have abandoned entertainment venues like theme parks, healthcare facilities, homes and neighborhoods, entire neighborhoods, hotels, resorts, industrial sites, prisons, religious sites, schools and research facilities. And they're all super fascinating. And they talk more about them so you can really find out where is this, what happened, why did it become abandoned. And sometimes they have info and sometimes they don't. But I kind of like to just look around and have my imagination go crazy and look at all these different things. And they're all really creepy and wild. They're just, and I, every time I go on there, I find a new one that I love. I can't recommend this enough. Abandon America.
Shoo, shoo. Oh, I love this. It's like a mini ghost town and all these different buildings. And
yeah,
oh, wow.
It's so, and then to think about, you know, like state hospitals and what they used to do to people that were had mental health issues. It was like a prison, and then they have prisons as well. You know, so you get these stories and you can just see like probably the things that were happening in these places are just unimaginable, super scary. Plus it looks scary. scary. It'd be great places for locations for movies. So it could be horror films if, you know, you could even do that.
Yeah.
But
so are these 100% abandoned, or do they include things that were abandoned and then were turned into something else?
They do have things like that. So okay. some of them say, you know, partially restored, or some of them are updated because they probably found it on the website or weren't the only people that found that and yeah. since have rebuilt it. So that can happen for sure. But the archive and the gallery section is mostly just the abandoned parts. I think there's actually a section that might even say rebuilt, or else it's in the notes for each section that this has been partially rebuilt or fully rebuilt or refurbished or things like that. But then there's still places that are and some of them, like I said, that are unknown. So they just find mm-hmm. these pictures of places, of especially when they start to cover the rest of the world, because it is abandoned America, and that's where most of it is happening. But then once you get a website, people start sending you things from all over the world, and those are even more mysterious and just fascinating. So cool. You can get lost for a long time looking at that website if you like that kind of mysterious thing.
Oh, it'd be so cool to identify a few that are in a region and then do a road trip to visit them all.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, or if you're going somewhere, I keep notes in Evernote of every place that I'm going to visit, and then I just, when I find things like that, I go, oh, add that to Chicago, add that to New York, and if I'm close, I'll go check it out, and if it works out, it's great. But yeah, a specific road trip would be really cool, because I'm sure they probably have a map system. I didn't look mm-hmm. and see, but where you could do that, even, you know, maybe they already have routes and things like that, which would be really, really cool.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Well, my next cool sheet, I'm going to be talking about an event, and I'm so excited about this. I'm thinking about going. I don't know. We'll see. But it is called The Universe in Verse. And so this is a fusion of poetry. So it's definitely very poetry heavy, but it is also very science heavy. And this is taking place at University of California, Santa Cruz, and it is an annual event. So this does happen every year. It's in April, and this year we're recording this in spring 2020. This year it's going to be April 18th, 2020. But it is an annual event, so this will keep on going, presumably. So it is. There is a tie-in with a former cool sheet, Brain Pickings, that Maria Popova is the founder of. And so she is a huge part of this. So this is an annual charitable celebration. So this is raising money. And there are so many big names of people that are included in this. So every year has a theme, and this year the theme is What is Life? And it is including an astronomer, Natalie Batalla, and she is helping found a new astrobiology institute. So it's also celebrating the beginnings of that. And they're bringing in the people they're bringing in. There's a Nobel Prize winner. There's a Tony Award winner. There's a MacArthur Award, the Genius Fellowship. And so a lot of big names. Also, Krista Tippett, who's the host of a podcast I'm blanking on. That former cool sheet. And so just lots of really cool things will be happening at this. So again, it is April 18th, 2020, and it is called The Universe in Verse.
Whoa, that just the title alone had me. But then as soon as you said Maria from Brain Pickings, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really going to be cool. On Being, is that what Kristen's
on
from?
Being, thank you. Yeah. And it's like, there's a big O in the logo.
I know. I almost like send you a hand signal, but then you're like, you're a weirdo. What are you doing? Wow, that sounds really neat. And I'm glad it's annual. So even if I can't check it out this April, that seems like that might be a stretch, but maybe make some plans to see it sometime in the future.
I know.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah. And so Andrian is Carl Sagan's partner, who's still alive, and she's also involved with it. So
Oh, wow. Yeah,
cool.
A lot of big names. Yeah. For sure. So, wow. That sounds really, really neat.
Yeah. And they will have music, storytelling, and telescope observation. And they said also some thrilling surprises. So, who knows what the surprise
is. And this is happening in April.
Yeah.
I hope it still happening.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of events are canceling right now.
I know.
South by Southwest just canceled. Big Ted just canceled. So they're either postponing Big Ted or it's going to be virtual only. So a lot of things are happening. So
to the listeners, I am silent because my mouth is agape.
Yeah, South by is huge. And
also we should say, so for anyone who listens in the future and they're like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
We are talking amongst the coronavirus outbreak.
Yes, 2020.
COVID-19.
Spring 2020.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of corona happening right now.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I thought about, should I talk about any cool sheets regarding that? Because there's tons of information and it's hard to really sift through to find the good stuff and things that you need to read and maybe some things you should avoid. I thought about it, but then that instantly dates it so much. Tim Ferriss did all this.
Yes.
Check out his resources.
His are really great.
They're really good. And he's super smart about it. But he did petition, because he lives in Austin, South by, to not have this. Because that, you know, these things, it sounds, oh, they're overreacting. There's a lot of that going on. But when you're talking about 100,000 to 300,000 people coming from 100 different countries.
Yes.
That is bad. That's a recipe for, that's how these kind of pandemics can happen very, very quickly.
Yes.
It's already happening, but it can just spread so much faster and become an actual pandemic crazy thing.
Yep.
So I totally get it. I don't think those are overreactions. Some of the local micro, so now I guess we are talking about it.
That's okay.
The local things are a little silly, you know, if we don't have an outbreak in Salem, because we've lost a ton of business at Ally Video Productions because conferences have canceled. And some of them are super just Salem based and there's no outbreaks within 100 miles. And it's kind of like, I kind of get it, but it's kind of ridiculous that that's not happening. But it is.
Yeah.
So
the things that are happening locally that are good are people are washing their hands more. You can't go wrong with that.
My hands are like actually rough now.
Oh, no.
Like I've lost my soft, supple skin.
Oh, that's so sad. Are you okay?
It's like I do hard labor. It's so gross.
And people are planning ahead. Like people are thinking and planning. You know, so
toilet
that's,
paper.
So that's all good.
Sell out.
But
everywhere.
Good
job, people.
There's a huge international physics convention that was slotted to start, I guess it was March 2nd in Denver, and they canceled it the day before. And it was for the exact same reason. There were people coming from everywhere in the world that were coming in on Denver, and Denver said, nope, cancel.
Well, they can't handle it. They can't handle that. If that did break out and spread and everybody had to go to the hospital and quarantine, I mean, literally, they don't have enough beds for everybody.
Yeah.
So it is a thing.
Yep.
So hopefully it by the time, if people are listening to this in the future, they're like, oh,
hopefully everything's okay.
Wasn't that funny when people got freaked out about that? Let's hope this is funny someday.
Yeah.
All right, my next cool sheet. Oh, so going on the theme of mysterious, this movie, this documentary, oh my gosh, one of my favorites of all time. I had to keep checking to make sure I haven't talked about this or anybody else. It's called The Institute. It's directed by Spencer McCall. So the synopsis, without giving too much away, and that's going to be really difficult when I talk about this movie. The Jejun Institute, a mind-bending San Francisco phenomenon where 10,000 people became inducted without ever quite realizing what they signed up for. I love that. That's very mysterious still. So what happened? There was these really eccentric flyers plastered all over the city that said these crazy cryptic woo-woo outer space messages, kind of like the tiles that I was talking about last week, and they had this phone number. And so eventually someone called and they called this phone number, and it was this really weird, also super cryptic spaceship type voicemail that said, go to this building. So they went to this building and they went, and it was the headquarters of the office building in the San Francisco financial district. So it was this giant skyscraper, very high rent district. And they went into the room that it told them to go to at the whatever floor. And there was this a normal looking reception, didn't match any of the weirdness. And they said what they were there for. And the receptionist, very normal looking, just handed them a key. and they went down this hallway and they went into this room, and it was just nutso, like crazy psychedelic posters everywhere and a TV, and you'd sit in this chair and then this TV video would play, and it's all VHS crazy stuff. And you meant what's his name, Octavia Spencer Esquire or something like that, and he talked about all this weird stuff, and then he had all these clues, and people followed this path and went down this rabbit hole. I'm out of time, but that's good because I don't want to spoil anything. Just go check out The Institute.
Whoa. Whoa.
You know it's good when
I
you
know.
Forget
that. That.
So you've never seen this?
No.
Oh, and you've lived in San Francisco, so
yeah.
I think you have an extra connection to it. And you will love Everywhere This Goes. It's right now, I bought it on Prime. So I bought it on Amazon because you can't stream it anywhere right now. Mm. That could change. Actually, I think there was one place you could stream it if you don't mind ads, but it was an app that I don't have for smart TVs. Maybe I'll check it out, or we'll put it on the website to see if that works for you or not. I can't verify how bad the ads are, or how frequent or anything like that. But the movies, I've seen it at least three times now.
Oh, my God.
Including this morning, because I wanted to see it one more time before I actually featured it, because it's been a few years since I've seen it. And it's just so good. It's so many of the amazing things. Like, is this a cult? Is this real? Is this fake? Is this what the heck is this? I love everything
awesome
about it. It's like it was all made for me. It's like all the madness that I like wrapped up into one movie about something that I just love.
I cannot wait to watch it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. My last cool sheet. So I'm going to be talking about a really great business, and it's called Natural Plant Products, which is a pretty generic name, but I love this company for a couple of reasons. So they are a global supplier of botanical ingredients, and they also do some technical services for personal care industry in general. And they are all about natural ingredients, sustainable products, global availability. And the best part about this is that the labs are based in Salem, Oregon. And I know the CEO. I know one of their main lab technicians was a student of mine who did research with me, who graduated a few years ago. And she is moving up in this business really quickly because she's amazing. And the more I learned about them, so I just knew about them because I knew these people. But then when I went in and started learning more by just their website and by talking to them and doing my research, I just realized it's such an amazing business. And I think what surprised me the most is I only know about it because I know the people that I just haven't seen their presence here. And they're really great. So I just really wanted to do everything I can to help more people know about them. So they're all about integrity, so high integrity raw ingredients. They also want to help farmers in this local area. And so one of the main ways they got started was with meadow foam seed oil. So those are flowers that grow in the Willamette Valley. And so then extracting these seeds and how wonderful that oil is. And so they started there, but so they work with farmers that grow that, but they also realized that the soil does better if there's also radishes that are being grown there. So they work with the farmers and try to help them connect with other people. And I really love this business. I can't say enough good things about them. Natural Plant Products.
Whoa, that is cool. And it's cool that it's right here in Salem. That's
even
cooler.
Indeed.
I can't wait to check that out.
Yes.
Find out more.
And in fact, the Salem Progressive Film Series, right, in April of 2020 is going to be showing a film about cosmetic industry.
Yes.
So I talked with Cindy about having
them. Yeah, because she was going to reach out to you. So that's perfect.
Yes.
That worked out really well because you already kind of had something.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
I did. Yeah, immediately I was like, oh, I know exactly who.
That's so cool. Good, because she was worried about that. All right. Well, good. I'll learn more about it very soon.
Yeah.
All right. My last cool sheet is I keep forgetting what they're called for some reason. It's just the title of the show. Anyway, is a podcast, and it is called Your Undivided Attention. I should realize that right now is what I need, a little bit more of that. Anyway, this spawned off of the documentary, one of my favorite documentaries that I saw at Sundance this year, called The Social Dilemma. One of the people, Tristan Harris, I believe is his last name, has this podcast with one other person who I did not write his name down. I'm sorry about that, because you are also very awesome. The synopsis: technology is a force that's pushing our culture in a certain direction. We can predict what that direction is, and we can steer it in a more humane direction. So all of the things that I loved about Social Dilemma and what Tristan is doing, because not the movie in general, is talking about all the bad things that are happening, but there are these people that are trying to shift some of the bad things that social media is doing to the world and shift it in a little bit more better direction. And this podcast is so good. So episode one is called What Happened in Vegas. So, you know, kind of stays in Vegas, you know, is the saying. It's a play off of that a little bit. But they talk to Natasha Dow Scholl, who's the author of Addiction by Design. She spent many, many years studying how slot machines and all these places in the casinos, how they are programmed to keep you inside and keep you, like, almost transform you into this flow state, but in like a zombie flow state where you're just on a game all the time, mindlessly hitting the lever. But everything, the carpet, the lighting, everything is designed to keep you staying there. And people have taken that and applied it to social media, of course. That's why we scroll and why we do all these things and can't get off. And all of a sudden, 2 hours go by. It's not by accident, or it's by accident, but it's somehow these same principles even. It's super fascinating. I've only listened to a few episodes so far, but it's everybody that's on social should check out this podcast, Your Undivided Attention.
Ooh. Yeah, this sounds like a must listen.
It's a must listen. Yeah. It's not all just scary, although it is very scary, but they do offer not solutions, but at least ideas for solutions and what, just to think about it a different way and just to be aware that it's happening. And it's just, this can sound scary and overwhelming to some and they just don't want to think about it. But I do think we need to think about it a lot more often of what's happening to us with social media. And that's because it's such a big part of our life now. We talked about YouTube and all these things that we can't pull ourselves away from. And there's so much good about them, but it is changing our behavior, our brain wiring. It's doing a lot. So we need to know, and we do need to make these companies, as powerful as they are, force them to make them think about it a little bit more and treat us all a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Anything that can help with this awareness is great. So this sounds really good.
Yeah, the podcast is a really good way to start. The movie's great, but I don't think it's out yet for everybody. The podcast you can listen to right away. They have 13 or 14 episodes-ish already. So hopefully it keeps going. And also, I haven't seen an update in a while. But even if it's those 12 episodes only, totally worth it. Definitely worth listening to and checking out. And you'll see a lot more cool sheets about this because it's a very important topic for me.
Excellent. All right, that's it.
That's it.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.